This is Margaret Arjous, and I'd like to welcome you to Suki Yum. A series of programs about our well-being, wherein we examine methods which will enable us to obtain a harmonious state of mind, body, and spirit, with the collaboration of holistic practitioner and psychotherapist, Dr. Lydia Ukaneva. Hello and welcome to another program in the series Suki Yum. And on the program with me once again is our resident guest, Dr. Lydia Ukaneva. Hello, Lydia.
Good afternoon.
And craniosacral therapist and author of Healing From Within, Fiona Lindley. Hello, Fiona.
Hello, Margaret.
And today we are going to continue talking about emotions, about anger to be precise, and our psychosocial metaphors for anger reflect its duality, depicting the emotion as eruptive, destructive, savage, burning or poisonous, and also as energizing, empowering, correcting or relieving. One set of metaphors suggests that anger is something to be expressed and utilized, but the other implies that anger should be contained and controlled. What are your comments regarding this?
It's true that there are different types of anger. There's a whole spectrum from frustration through to rage. It's all safe, in truth. It is all safe. But it's very hard to know unless we're taught how to use the energy to keep it safe. So, where anger becomes destructive, it becomes unsafe. And where it's used well, it stays safe. So we could say, in fact, that there is healthy anger and there is destructive anger. They're both valid, but sadly one supports life and one harms life. The basis on which each of those choices are made within the human being depend on childhood and birth and the extent of disempowerment or otherwise the individual was made to go through. So, for example, sadly, there is a lot of violence in the birthroom. If I give you an example now of a regular birth, and then I'll give you a different model of birth. So, a regular birth now is deemed normal when the baby is born vaginally on time. It doesn't mention anything about drugs or not. And also the cord is clamped and cut, the baby is taken away to be cleaned and then given back to the mother.
Yes,
that's deemed a normal
birth. Yes. When it emerges in that bright light,
yes,
isn't
exactly.
That already something, you know?
With the mother lying on her back,
yes.
Already there's so much disempowerment in that space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, consider a different scenario where the birthing place, and I'm not talking necessarily about a hospital, but there's no reason why it can't be, is dark and quiet, and mm-hmm. the woman is supported to reclaim her power.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of feeling fearful about the sensations in her body, she has birth partner and has done her preparation work to expand and feel safe mm-hmm. with expanding. Because in truth, that's what contractions are.
Mm-hmm.
It's the tissues expanding as well as contracting.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So that's the first level. Then the baby is born and not clamped and cut away from the umbilical cord. Mother Nature has designed it in such a way that the fluids need to complete, and they will naturally complete in the umbilical cord 3 to 5 minutes after the baby is born. Even the vernix, which is kind of like the film that a lot of babies come out, particularly if they're slightly early in their birth, that's often wiped away, when in truth that's baby's first food. So to mm-hmm. take that away off the skin is actually denying the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So in an ideal world, the birthing would be quiet, it would be dark, it would mm-hmm. be surrounded in strength of love
mm-hmm.
and capacity to expand and to trust the expansions.
So more protected rather than violated.
Yes. The woman would be either standing up or on all fours or squatting, literally letting gravity support the process, so not working against gravity. And then, even when the umbilical cord is allowed to cease its fluid exchange between the mother and the baby, actually not to separate the placenta from the umbilical cord. Because the umbilical cord, actually, if it's allowed to complete its true journey, it will disconnect from the belly button 3 to 5 days after birth. Now, it makes it a little awkward, to be honest, because when a baby is born this way, we call it a lotus birth. The placenta is also then needs to be handled. So when the baby is being changed and swaddled, then, you know, it's a bit cumbersome because you don't want to rip it away.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's allowed to be, the placenta stays in touch with the umbilical cord, which is in touch with the baby until nature allows the process of separation, you've got a completely different sense of connection through birth. Whereas sadly what's happening now is a violating, a separation and a cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And it is said that we make our mind up about the world in the first 2 minutes of birth. We either have the sense of, my body hurts, what have I done wrong, where is my world?
Mm-hmm.
Because the baby is separated from the only world it's ever known.
It's a trauma to the baby.
Absolutely,
too.
It is. And, or we have a sense of, my body is safe.
Mm-hmm.
I am born in connection, through connection, to connection.
Mm-hmm.
On a different level. And that sets up a whole different etheric map in the biophysics and a physiological map, and also a different relationship between the caretakers and the youngster.
Very, very interesting.
What Fiona said, it is the perinatal matrix what is implanted in our mind during the birthing process. The physiology of our emotions based on different levels. The most ancient level of our emotions, and in particular anger, because the anger connected with the feelings of the fear. And the fear is based on the feelings of insecurity. So our anger is always the result of insecurity. On a physiological level, the ancient structure of the brain, particular cortex sternum and the vegetative system are responsible for our reaction, because anger is a reaction. And the trigger is based on a neocortex level, so in our consciousness. And what happened is the sensors of our body, the light, the sound, the smell, some movement around us, bringing a lot of signals to us. Some signals giving the sign of danger around. So this danger is triggering the reactive mechanism in our body. If we're talking about anger towards the action, we can speak about the physical reaction for that. In nature, the physical reaction is to run, to protect yourself,
mm-hmm.
or to be aggressive, so to fight for your own survival. So anger based on very ancient instinctive level of our being, on our biological level. So when we are talking about some uncertainties between us, some misunderstanding, we are in the level of discussion. In parallel, when countries are on a diplomatic state of relationships, we will speak about anger management. So we're not losing our consciousness during these discussions. So we can speak about uncertainties, we can find the conclusion. When we are triggering our ancient mechanism, like what, for example, like the independence of a nation, like personal independence, or like danger of the ego, the danger of ambitions, the anger of I am right, or the danger of being out of your comfort zone. So that is all strong triggers, and usually it's triggering through the neuro-linguistic mechanism. So this is the word. If I will insult you, Margaret, in Chinese, what you do not understand. And if you will insult me in Maltese, what I partly do not understand. So we are not reacting. Mm-hmm. So it is no trigger. But if we are in tune with the particular words or particular sound, we will be very reactive. And like that, all this ancient mechanism in our body included the hormones, the millions of different catalyzers will mm-hmm. be triggered, and then we are out of control because our body begins to behave towards the trigger.
Yes.
So we are protecting all our image, all our ideas. Our pride, all our body.
Mm-hmm.
So we all born with this mechanism, and this mechanism is actually the mechanism of the correct action. Without this mechanism of anger, we cannot survive.
Mm-hmm.
The question is only how to keep it under control. So how to be the owner of your tool, not to be the slave of your tool. And it is a lot from the psychotherapeutic side and also from the spiritual side, many religions offering these tools for the casual life, how to deal with your own anger.
Mm-hmm. Now, each of us is responsible for our own anger. Is there a correlation between this inner war and war itself?
Yes. The correlation is to do with how we have been able to become safe with our own anger, and honest, actually, with our own anger, frustration or rage. It's completely normal to feel upset when our power has been taken away. It's completely normal to feel angry when we're not being heard or we're not being seen. But we have a choice in that moment, when we're not being heard, for example, to either start yelling and therefore feed the fire that is going to feed the anger, that's going to feed a lashing out eventually, either through words or actions, or to take a breath, actually, and notice where the activation is in the body and remove ourselves from the situation. So if we're in dialogue with somebody, we can say to them, I'm sorry, I need to walk away right now, I'll come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that instantly diffuses any relationship of anger between the violator, if you like, and the activator.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not working in the level of the nation conflict, because each conflict begins in our personal mind. So we are living now in the world when we are in a big conflict between our inner self and the life what we expected to live. The social standards and the personal standards are clashing. We are in economical crisis, and this crisis is a result of education crisis. So the war, the social wars, the civil wars, the world wars, all begin from our inner wars, inner conflict. If we do not know our priorities, what is the most valuable, our ego or our survival, we will never find the point of peace. We will never make peace in ourselves, in our family. If we know only how to deal with our anger and disagreement through the violence and through the arguments, so this method is never working. The school of diplomacy is the school of peacemaking. So we have to be diplomatic towards our own ego first. We need to satisfy our needs, or we need to understand ourselves.
There's an expression that says, if there is peace inside, there is peace in the home. If there is peace in the home, there is peace in the country. If there is peace in the country, there is peace in the world. If there is peace in the world, there is peace on the planet. It absolutely starts with our own relationship to our own angers, our own frustrations.
Mm-hmm.
This is Margaret Arjous, and you're listening to Sukhiyam on Campus FM with our resident guest, Dr. Lydia Ukaneva and Fiona Lindley. Today we are discussing anger. Now, What are the dynamics at play when there is domestic violence, for example?
So initially it's very easy to be simplistic about it and say, well, there's a victim and there's a perpetrator. But it's never that simple. In truth, the one who may be labelled a victim may actually be somebody who doesn't know how to express anger. So unconsciously within the relationship, that, if you like, forces the one who does have a freer relationship with anger and energy to be more vocal or more practical, more expressive with their anger. So it's important that we don't label victim and perpetrator. That's one dynamic that's going on. The second one is the person who is often more vocal with their anger also has the capacity to feel disempowered. But the one who is, we may label the victim, the quieter one, is actually carrying more of a relationship to the sensitivity and the powerlessness. So each person within that dynamic holds a polarity, if you like, of the two expressions. One is over-expressive in the aggression, and one is under-expressive in the aggression.
I just want to add, all family dynamics of violence relationships is the dynamic of the minds. So it's actually where the mind is, there is danger. So the insecure person who are triggered, most of the time it is a man. And again, the education, the family education, the social surrounding, the religion or spiritual imprint, age, understanding, all of this program in the mind creating a particular reaction. So when the person do not feel safe in his ideas. So the limitation of the security is bringing this violence to protect yourself. Unfortunately, many women know how to trigger the anger, and most of the time unconsciously, playing the role of being this trigger. It have a positive side of self-development, but it also have a negative side of being physically abused. So in the family dynamics, it's very important to understand what is triggering your partner, and do not press the button, because automatically you will have a reaction, and automatically this person from the conscious level will go into this ancient instinctive reaction to protect his ideas or his space or his whatever, his personality. And even if this is wrong, by triggering it all the time, we will not find the truth. We just will create a lot of conflict.
Very interesting, yeah?
It's also important to say a bit about how the person can relieve the situation for themselves and their family member. For example, they could say to the person who is inflamed, when I say XYZ, whatever it is, you feel really angry. So you breed a different relationship to it where it can become more conscious, and then that can lead, you know, if we take the example of a man hitting a woman, it can lead the man into getting help with whatever it is, because it's not the wife's job to care for the man, to heal him in that, you know, just as it's not his job to take responsibility or to heal her, although inherently they both do. But it's important that it becomes conscious.
So I would love also to add the situation, for example, between father and son, because it's not only between the partners, mother and daughter, father and daughter, etc. All these relationships have a particular roles, and we need to accept these roles, and we have to accept the power. Most of the time, we are wrongly misunderstood our positions. So we have to understand our parents have a superior position, and we need to pay respect. Most of the time, people would love to maintain their authorities, and if they are the providers in the family, they need to be acknowledged. Every time when they are disacknowledged, they feel anger. So a woman have her own role and position. Every time when she is disacknowledged by her children or partner, she is angry. And it's sort of the righteous anger, but it's not bringing a peace. doesn't of matter course. Is righteous or wrong, it's still not bringing the peace. Mm-hmm. Many children have a rebellion attitude because, especially nowadays, the education unfortunately do not give this sense of respectfulness towards their teachers, towards their parents, and it created a lot of mess in people's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So children who are absolutely dependent on parents are show of disrespect, show of non-appreciative behavior, and even harmful behavior towards themselves. So it is obligations of the parents to protect the children, but the children trying to behave like they are nothing.
Uh-huh.
So this is all like a complex of the family dynamics. And I think it's coming just from our ignorance, because people wasn't being told where they are, where their position, what type of relationship they have to develop. It's mm-hmm. very similar like people going to the office of a prime minister or president, and they cannot just come and say, I disagree with that, and you should change it towards the president or the authority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can agree or disagree, you can show your protest, but you need to acknowledge this power is in this right position.
Mm-hmm.
We have to deal with the power, not personally, but we need to understand behind mm-hmm. the personality is the power.
Uh-huh.
I found this quotation which really attracted my attention. I found this on Facebook. Somebody said, most people tend to blame their anger, sadness, stress, frustration, or worries on other people. They think that they are feeling something because of another person's actions, when in fact, the emotions they experience are inside them.
Exactly. And what happens is, in the psychotherapeutic profession, we say that when somebody expresses their anger externally, they're either displacing it or they are projecting it out. There's a quote from Bonnie Myotitrice, and she says that rage, whether in reaction to social justice or to our leaders' insanity or to those who threaten and harm us, is a powerful energy that with diligent practice can be transformed into fierce compassion.
Also, the other side of anger is the action. So we need to find the most effective action towards the subject of our discussion. And through the action, we are physically transmuting this energy of anger into something fruitful. So if there is a clash in the family, it's great to do something together. If there is misunderstanding between parents and the children, between partners, and between one generation to another generation, it is extremely important to find some active event where everyone will be involved better in the nature. So the more family or partner will unite, the more they will spend time together and doing the same things, the more peace will come to the family. Mm-hmm.
So how can psychotherapeutic techniques help?
In many ways. So there are different kinds of psychotherapeutic techniques. Because I'm a body worker, I work through the body mostly. So I have different options for people using different parts of the body, particularly using the mouth, the face and the hands, actually, to rebalance the nervous system. Sometimes actually just encouraging somebody to have a good sing, or, you know, in full voice, so they reclaim the energy but for something creative. They relabel it, if you like. They take the toxicity and the stuckness out of it and use it to proclaim, you know, their wonder at being able to feel such depth of feeling. I might have somebody hitting cushions against a bed or a couch. I certainly will be encouraging the energy to move. Sometimes I say to people within families, you know, tell your spouse, tell your children that you're just going to have a yell, so that they're prepared, they're not scared, and they actually are taught through your own actions how to deal with their own anger when they feel it. So if they see mum kind of saying, you know, I'm just going to have a yell for a bit, you don't need to worry, I'm totally safe, they can get to learn, and so when mum is annoyed, this is what she does. That then when they grow up, they know that that's one way to do it, and the mother's not lashing out. She's keeping the space safe, but she's also not diminishing herself by making herself sit on something that really becomes to the point where it's not containable anymore.
Mm-hmm. One of the greatest tools of peacemaking is meditation, and this method is not allowing trigger from the conscious level to go deeper into the ancient instinctive level of aggressive and violent reaction. So we are in a state of meditation. In the ancient time, women were sewing, washing, embroidering, men were gardening, walking, and it is many different types of meditation, singing, dancing. I found nowadays one of the easy way of meditation, even during your activity, is the number. Repeat your number in your mind. Choose one from 1 to 9 and repeat it, repeat it. Take a deep breathing before you will answer during your discussion or conflict. So listen to your body and remember this energy of anger belongs to you. So feel this energy, the energy of your vitality. So appreciate this energy and do not spread it just for nothing. The other way is to watch some comedy and just to realize life is not too serious as we thought.
It's true. Comedy is really good, especially before you sleep at night.
Exactly.
It calms you down.
So, and even if you kind of do like a funny dance or, you know, you can really get into acting in a way that just dispels the charge of it, that it's not so tight anymore.
Don't watch the news.
No. If your anger is stuck in you, rewrite your story in the evening and see how funny you look and how funny look your opponent. It's actually touching just the surface of your being. And the last recommendations, remember, one day you will die. And there is no time to play this unpleasant game, to be angry, to be backstabbing, to be jealous, to be envious. Because this life, this unique life, belongs to you for a short period of time. So your own appreciation of your life will save you from being overwhelmed with the anger.
Beautiful. So thank you very much. That was really interesting. Thank you, Fiona. Thank you, Lydia.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I just hope that you found today's program informative. And don't forget to join us for the last program, where we will discuss sadness and depression. This is Margaret Arjous, who would like to thank all of our listeners and our recording engineer for all his patience, Samuel, and I leave you with this thought. Power consists in not being able to strike another, but in being able to control oneself when anger arises. Oh.